part 3 of Bigfoot. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Bigfoot films, starting back in like 1970, started the way up. Keep in mind the Robinson-Gimlin film, or Patterson-Gimlin film from Willow Creek.
Yes.
Was filmed in 67. So these new movies from Hollywood started coming out, and it covers a vast variety of like horror, comedy films, animated, and documentary films.
Well, the early ones were horror.
Oh, yeah, big time.
As they're coming more further, they're like environmentalist.
Yeah. Type,
like the new one. The summer, summertime squash, or whatever it is.
Tie a yellow ribbon around it.
It's too small.
Poor squash. You know, you thought he had, you know, he suffers from some problems. You know, he's got big feet, but doesn't translate. Yeah, so there's the biggest one, you know, like The Legend of Boggy Creek, Bigfoot or Beast, Shriek the Mutilated. That's probably a horror movie right off the top. Creature from Black Lake, Snow Beast, I remember that actually. Sasquatch, The Legend of Bigfoot, Man Beast, Myth or Monster, Curse of Bigfoot, Capture, Revenge. Those are all probably horror movies. Revenge of the Bigfoot. Night of the Demon. What?
That was actually, I looked that up, that was on Bigfoot.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I looked up all those movies, and then I looked at the books. There are so many books on Bigfoot. It's just, anywhere from the scientific to horror to maybe one person's sighting, and they write a whole book about it.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, Cry of the Wild, and, of course, Harry and the Hendersons, which was a fairly popular movie. I mean, there must be, like, easily over almost 200 different movies that are listed here from 1970 through 2024, Sasquatch Sunset, which I think is the movie you were just talking about. But, I mean, it's just got this huge list. If you want some Sasquatch or you want some Bigfoot action, it's out there.
Yeah. Well, now the TVs, there's all those TV shows, you know, like,
Monster Quest. Yeah, from the History Channel.
There's actually the Bigfoot Quest, Bigfoot Hunters, Bigfoot whatever. There's so many of them.
There's a lot of them. Actually, they list a bunch of different things here from the different movies. The previously mentioned $6 Million Man and its spinoff Bionic Woman had Sasquatch in both of them. From Harry and the Hendersons, the adaptation of the movie into the TV show. In some of these listings, it's usually just a reference to Sasquatch, but it's enough in the popular culture that the writers in Hollywood were able to incorporate it in. We talk about The X-Files, Survivor Man, Destination Truth on Sci-Fi, which I remember that. Trailer Park Boys. That's a bit of a stretch right there. The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
DuckTales. Tom and Jerry episodes. Penn and Teller. They have an episode called Bullshit, called Cryptozoology, which discusses Bigfoot and its most other famous competitor, the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
So they talk about Nessie. Isn't it funny that most of these well-known monsters actually have female names? Because you remember what Patterson's Sasquatch is called, right?
Patty?
Yep.
Patty, yeah.
Well, Patty and Nessie probably
that was obvious why she was named Patty.
You would think so, right?
and she was just to let you know, she was one of those 230 specials,
double triple extra double D.
Yeah, you know when you get out of the bar, it's 230. Yeah,
those beer goggles are starting to look really good right now. Then you start chewing off your arm. It's like it's a coyote morning. Anyway, so there's a number of listings that just shows a bunch of it. Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, Hotel Transylvania, which was actually kind of a fun cartoon. And then there's a bunch of board games, video games that are listed here. Tony Hawk's Underground 2.
Oh, God.
That's kind of hilarious. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Right.
The Sims, Bon Voyage. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2007. Bigfoot is seen hiding in a tree. And an Easter egg. Okay. That's just weird that they would incorporate that in there. Terror Dome, Splattertoon 3. Yeah, who knows? I've never heard of these games before. Ooh, looky here.
The law? Oh, it's Skamania County, Washington, passed a law regarding Bigfoot in 1969, declaring that any willful, wanton slaying of such creatures shall be deemed a felony. Wow.
So, here's the thing.
This is not an April Fool's joke.
No, that's not.
This reason is, yeah.
So, think about this, guys. So, Sasquatch is a protected animal or creature.
Right.
Right? By law. All the way back in, what year was that again?
1969. Well, in 1991, Whatcom County in Washington passed a bill. That's Sasquatch Protection and Refuge Area.
So, wow. if a creature like that isn't shot, there's no proof of it, but if you do shoot it, you go to jail because you were trying to get proof of it.
Yeah.
So, that's just a weird dichotomy of something going on. So.
Oh, here we go. Bigfoot and Beyond is with Cliff.
Oh.
The one that actually has, runs the Northwest American Bigfoot Center. Very interesting. We have a couple other ones that we have. Bigfoot and the Citizen Science Podcast. So, oh, and I was going to let you know that the big thing now, too, is they have Sasquatch tours. It's like $100.
Okay.
They take you up into the mountains, into the back areas. You have to hike in. There's no roads to drive you up there. You get up there, and they hike you way in the back where they've actually found footprints. And they take you all the way back up there. It's a poor whole day. But there's just, not just one, there's a whole bunch of those. And they're all through the United States.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, some of the scarier stuff that I've been hearing about, like the guys in the Glades, in particular with the swamp ape or skunk ape, the areas are so treacherous because of just natural predators like alligators and poisonous snakes and so on like that. Oh, could a wild man live back there? Hell yeah. And after what we've just talked about, if you've been living in the wilds, your skin is going to get very, very tough. Okay, so here you go, folks. Take your shoes off. Rub the bottom of your foot of your heel. Now, yes, you've been wearing shoes, most of you, I would imagine. But that heel has been in contact and has been tread upon, and it's got a very thick callus on it.
Right.
If you're living in the wilds and you've got nothing except fur, the rest of your body is going to become very calloused and very thick, very leather-like. Think a snake's going to get through that?
Yeah.
Probably not, especially a squatch.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, where it's ever stepping, and, I mean, even the weather alone in the mountainous areas and so on like that, they're walking across volcanic rock and pumice. And all kinds of other things. And broken twigs and stuff. Have you ever tried to walk across a bunch of rocks with your bare feet? You can't do it.
No, they're pretty callous. And, you know, when they can just sit there and walk across a stick, it just...
Yeah.
It's not even like sticking into their foot.
No.
So what the prints that they have on feet, they found out that one of the tricks that... they can tell it's real is that they can actually see the calluses on the bottom of the feet.
There are crevices, kind of like if you take a look at the palm of your hand, okay, and you do a palm print of some kind. I mean, you can get the idea that this person person has probably lived a kind of a rough life. I mean, you can see all the lines that go crisscross across the palm of your hand. But you got the same stuff happening on the bottom of your feet. And, I mean, it also talks about that middle tarsus break that's in the foot of the Sasquatch. Because the heel isn't really, or the arch of the foot isn't really pronounced in the Sasquatch.
It doesn't, like ours, we can actually arch it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You can actually... theirs is actually just kind of a straight, but when they go straight down, it goes deep, and then it rolls up, and then it goes deep where the ball would be.
Which is fairly common for a lot of, what is it, knuckle walkers? I think that's what they're called for primates with the great apes. I think they're called knuckle walkers. Because, like, gorillas and chimps sometimes use their hands and stuff like that. You know.
I'm holding back.
Why?
I'm really holding back.
Oh, skunky.
I just know people that are like that.
I think I see those people all the time.
And they have this, like, sloped forehead, too.
It's a sure sign of low intelligence.
No, that's a lie. Don't ever listen to what I have to say. It's just it's all in fun. It's all in fun. Serious.
Not for me.
Oops. I'm going to have it. So there's a lot of things, and I think it can be determined with all the vast volume of stuff that we have come across, and we're just literally scratching the surface, honestly.
Right.
That there is so much circumstantial evidence that's backed up by law that says if you come across it, you can't shoot it.
I came up on another one of another military thing where they talked about Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
Being protected. Oops. So it's just not that one article I had. There was more.
Oh, I know.
Really so, good. Yeah. So there it's the military. It's gone too far back, so you can't think that it's a military secret, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Well, you know, unless they can train them. And then if they can train them, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Was it you that was telling me where they shot him and took him back?
Yeah, so I had heard a story that during Mount St. Helens and the eruption and stuff like that. Now, of course, now, if you're not familiar, Mount St. Helens on the east side of the mountain, before and after the eruption of 1980, there was a place called Ape Canyon. Mm-hmm. Now, just the name alone should tell you something about it. That it's got that pre-Americanized idea that the Sasquatch had been there. Native Americans have been telling people don't go up there. And the guys still went up there to look for, like, I think it was doing copper mining or something like that. And that whole place was attacked back in, like, 1924. So about 100 years ago, a group of guys got attacked. There was also stories that during the 1980 eruption that some military guys had come across a couple of Sasquatches. And they had to put them out of misery because they were suffering because of all the ash inhalation and stuff like that. And they hung. And this was the military, U.S. military. Now, I can't substantiate any of that, but that's just a story that I heard. But it comes across as being one of those military stories that has some semblance. During 1980, there was a lot of people being evacuated from that general area. And it's just only until just recently, I think, the guy who runs the
Cliff
had come across that area where the Ape Canyon is on Mount St. Helens, because it's a very treacherous area to get into, actually.
Right.
Even now, after the blast, you can still see massive scarring from the mountain, and it's an eruption around that whole area. But nature takes care of itself. Again, you know how they always talk about, well, there's no remnants of any Sasquatch. Well, again, as we talk about natural predators have a tendency to eat stuff, nature renews itself. And you take a look at the way that whole area around Mount St. Helens has blossomed.
Well, if you've ever drove to Escanaba, where the Escanaba Mountains are, and then you go all the way up to the little Swedish village, which is Leavenworth.
Okay.
That is nothing but forest. And we're talking a 2-3 hour drive of going through forest. I mean, it's dense. So if there's some, I mean, there's a river up there and everything. If something's in there,
you're not going to find it.
You're not going to find it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's only by chance action that you ever come across it. I mean, even the military down in California, near where we're talking about the Yucca Man.
Yeah.
There's a place along the highway that they had many encounters. Many. Probably at least from what I've heard, like probably about 20 different sightings of a Sasquatch cruising across the highway.
Wow.
And I heard a story about a guys in Yakima, Washington, where there was a bunch of traffic being held up, and apparently this guy, who was a kid at the time, it was like 1970, I think, large winter storm, which happens a lot here in the Northwest. You can get these winter storms, and it just bring a ton of rain and inundate areas. But Yakima's on the other side of the Cascade Range, so it's probably much more intense there. Cop cars were being stopped, and there was a Bigfoot in the traffic running against traffic.
Wow.
And this kid saw it. and now full grown man, probably was like, I'm guessing in his mid-60s, I guess. Again, you go on to YouTube, you could probably find this. I mean, a lot of the stuff that shows on like a Monster Quest or something like that will do a bunch of recounting of these individual sightings, and or you had some sort of interaction, like you heard it out in the woods or something. Well,
one of the things that Cliff says, you know, when I was talking to him, take those all those shows you see on TV for the greatest show.
Oh yeah,
because it's, you know, it's they're adding it up so the viewership
sensationalized.
Yeah, because he goes out and he goes. He told me he goes out. You know, me go out for a weekend or whatever. It takes a while. You don't see one every single time.
No, so, no. Yeah. I mean, the idea that, you know, Monster Quest has now been brought in here to bring the latest of technology and stuff like that, but they always pick the worst times to go out. I mean, there's a tracking way that they've already got stuff built into the program that prevents somebody from finding anything. They might find a footprint here, but no conclusive evidence of hair or DNA. They take in their thermal cameras and are going out in the woods, and then suddenly the battery dies. Really? You didn't check that out before going out there? You must be the stupidest researchers out there ever. I mean, they had a great idea, right? So they had a drone set up with a FLIR camera attached to it, right?
Right.
But the battery, you can see it on the screen. The battery was already half dead before they found any kind of... Oh, that's a raccoon up in a tree. Great, I found a heat signature. You think the raccoon gives a rip?
And through the deep forest?
Yeah.
You're not going to see a lot. No. No.
The foliage alone, if you've never been to the Northwest, there are some such densely populated areas of pine and the rainforest that inundates, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that thick. I mean, it's even thicker than what you're going to find in the jungles of the Amazon. In some cases. I mean, people say, oh no, the Amazon's like, really? Tell that to the guys who are mowing it down for burgers and stuff, right?
Yeah. If you've ever gone into the deep old growth.
Oh, yeah.
Now, old growth is a little different than the new. The old growth actually has stuff underneath it, but it has such a good canopy. I mean, some of the stuff's just dry. And that's why we have the forest fires, by the way.
Yeah.
Because the canopy is stopping a lot of the rain coming in, and it gets dry underneath it. That's why they grow too close together, it just dries everything. But you can actually, you know, some of that old growth, you can just walk right through. But then you got trees growing and bushes and everything. So yeah, it's you got trees that are maybe 3 feet apart. And it's amazing. I mean, you can get lost. That's why people get lost in the woods.
Oh yeah. There's other areas like today I was watching a special that was talking about Vancouver Island. Okay, so how in the world did a Squatch get over to there? Well, it's been proven by science that any primates or hominids can actually swim and or deal with the water.
It's because they probably have oil on their hair.
Oh, very, that was not even mentioned.
Very oily. It's going to be oily and whatever, which is repellent, which floats.
Yep. Yeah. And with the length of the arms that they always talk about being abnormally long compared to what humans have, they could probably literally swim across, and they're only having to swim maybe a half mile.
Nothing for them.
Yeah, and if they came across during the time of the ice age and came across on the ice bridge between Alaska and the Soviet Union or Republic or whatever Federation. Yeah. Russian Federation, you probably had them be able to actually just walk right over. They wouldn't even know it.
Well, they got a 6'8". So, I mean, I can't even jump that. Keep on doing it. It's really hard. And have footprint impressions. Now, if you think about that their arms are down a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going their arm length from swimming onto the other, it's probably about 8 feet.
Easy. Easy.
With big hands. Man, they're a motorboat. That's what he does to her. That's a Squatch motorboat.
Because when you absolutely, positively need to get there in a quick time, turn that squatch on.
Which brings us, if you ever see one, it was just so funny in all those shows, you're kind of like, oh yeah, emergency. And they never do. What they find out is that don't run towards it. Just stand there. Don't shoot at it. Any aggressive stance, they will actually come towards you.
It's kind of like if you are actually in the study of the great apes by Jane Goodall or Susan Fossey, when she was studying the gorillas, you know, like gorillas in a mist or something like that in Africa, and Jane Goodall was studying the chimps. The idea of direct competition comes if you, like, if you look at a gorilla, male gorilla, he's going to charge you and probably kill you with one slap. A chimp, on the other hand, will probably just freak out and bite your face off.
Yeah.
I mean, they're that, chimps are that aggressive, much more than you think that a big animal like a gorilla. You put a gorilla against a chimp, gorilla will still come out on top. The ferocity of a chimpanzee is second to none. And I wouldn't want to come across one either.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't either. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially one that's named Caesar.
That's right.
Yep. There's a new one. Actually, it's out right now.
I think.
I got to go check it
out. Actually, the graphics got really good.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Oh, I'm going to check that. Yeah. The idea is do not challenge any of these because they say if you make direct eye contact, or rapid movements or anything like that, they'll come after you because it's a challenge to their dominance. Well, I'm sorry, but if I saw something that was 7 to 8 feet tall and massive and furry and stuff like that, I might kind of glance out of the corner of my eye, and I'm not going to make any sudden moves unless it starts running after me. Probably catch me pretty quick, too. Good Lord, man.
There is a story. This is a recount of a person who was hunting, and he was sleeping in a sleeping bag, and he was basically out in the woods by himself, and he heard this rumbling and stuff, and he kind of got scared. He didn't get his gun. It was a rifle. He just kind of, like, hunkered down in his sleeping bag, and the story is that Bigfoot came and picked him up.
Oh, yeah, I heard that story.
And carried him to a certain area, which was said it was like a ravine type area that, you know, it's like, you know, one way in and one way out. And it was when he was there, he finally looked out and there was a Bigfoot, a male Bigfoot, female, and a penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there 4 days. And finally he tricked them somehow and ran away, which is hard to believe that, you know, they got him, and then he ran away.
So here's the version of the story I heard of, that variation of that, right? So the guy had the gun with him in his sleeping bag. And not only that, but he had some of his camping gear in the sleeping bag with him, which always sounds kind of weird to me, because if you've ever slept in a sleeping bag out in the woods, that's got to be the most uncomfortable possibility of anything, right? But so the guy, the way I heard the story was, is that he's sleeping. He's got this gun in his sleeping bag. God, I hope it's not armed and ready to go off. Because if he rolls over the wrong way, bah! You're going to have a rude awakening. Oh, anyway, so the squatch comes by, picks him up, runs to that ravine, comes across it. The story I also heard was, is that he ends up making a pot of coffee, right?
Oh, yes.
So he drinks. Yes. He was drinking some coffee, and the squatch reaches over and grabs it and just downs that and all the grounds, and then he goes and starts coughing. And because the squatch took off to go wash his mouth out, right, with water, that's when he took off.
Yes.
And that's when he got away. At least that's the way I heard
it. Yes, it was something like that. Yeah, and then he got away. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's always these very strange recounting of stories and stuff like that. Of course, they get twisted over time, and we all have our own individual takes on it and stuff like that. To me, the Squatch exists.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
I have a number of friends who believe that as well. I think there's still so much on this planet that we have yet to even investigate. Now, I'm a big proponent of getting off the planet to begin with anyway. My original last name was Mars, so let's give you a hint. But
we can follow Elon to his home planet.
Sweet. Elon Musk.
We just have to be friends to the lizard people.
Yeah, because they don't want to get trapped on the moon in the hollow moon theory.
Now, yeah. Sorry, but that's the new theory.
That's a new theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they talk about the craters on the moon. And they're huge craters, but they only go down so far into the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then, you know, about the... we're kind of bringing different things up, that the Earth itself has another planet inside of it.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that was been on...
That puts the whole flat earthers to shame. That's like a pancake within a pancake with a jelly layer. Can you imagine? Here, we're going to make a pancake and we're going to slather it with some jelly. I hope it's strawberry jam because that's my favorite. And then make another like thing or like around the outside of it, like a donut.
Like a donut. Like maybe it is a donut. Maybe we have a big hole through the middle.
Could be.
Yeah.
According to
the expressway. For the lizard people.
Oh, the lizard overlords are probably having a laugh at this, maybe, if they have a sense of humor. I hope they do.
You know what?
What?
Okay. Here's a new theory.
Oh, okay. You've heard it here first. Go.
Big feet are actually lizard people in costume.
Ooh, that's a good one. There has been some evidence to support that, actually. Or, you know, in Georgia, if I remember correctly. Remember, I think we were talking about the lizard people in the car. The guy, his car had stalled. He had gotten out. He was working on it. It was along a swampy area. And suddenly this creature comes out of the swamp area. And it smells just as bad as any squatch would. They should probably wash with a lot of soap to get cleaned up before interacting with other people. The lizard guy attacks him. He has the same red eyes as a squatch has been often commented about having as well. And I thought that's really interesting because one can be confused with the other. They're the same size.
Yeah, the same size. Yes.
And there's definitely a height issue that comes in. So there are some recounting of lizard people in the same similar area that the Sasquatch would be, which I think you might have something there. They might be trying to camouflage themselves like a chameleon. I wonder if they have those weird eyes that look like other ways. Yeah.
I think they do. So Bigfoot is, as we said, we both believe it.
Yeah.
It's here. If you don't believe it, at least look at how much money it brings in.
Oh my God. Just the popularity alone. I mean, as I pointed out to Paul one time, I use a Dr. Squatch soap and shampoo all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Shampoo, yeah.
Yeah, it has a shampoo and stuff like that. And it's like, step out of the stream and Squatch there was to give you the towel.
So I gotta say is like, as a lot of these guys in these centers stuff, have happy squatchy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think if you want to, be aware that you are, if you decide to go researching and you've got yourself all packed up and ready to go, be aware that you are dealing with a wild creature. Take a look at bigger primates that we already know about and apply a lot of that to dealing with Sasquatch.
I don't think pepper spray is going to work on
bear spray definitely ain't going to happen.
No.
A lot of these hunters who have encountered him have always had, or her, have always been heavily armed with big guns and stuff like that, and has virtually doesn't do any harm to them. Now, I heard about one today. Guy was up and he was hunting. The idea of hunting is kind of taken on a different kind of deterrent right now. Guys will be up in a roost, up on a tree,
right,
in camouflage, and you're waiting for something to come by to you, like a spider in a web. Hunting to me is actually you're actively going and tracking something.
That's the
way I understand it.
When I used to go with my brother, that's what we used to do. And then wear your red vest,
mm-hmm,
because you're going to your head. They're colorful.
Yeah.
So you don't get shot by somebody else.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if a Sasquatch, they often say that's, they can probably smell you quicker than we could smell them.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a pretty strong scent.
Which means if you see him, you're actually downwind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not,
Yeah.
Because of something that
he's... Yeah.
I actually read a really good book by Max Brooks. I don't know if you're familiar with that name. Okay, so Max Brooks is a pretty good known author. He did the book called World War Z initially, and he is the son of Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft. But he's a great writer. And so he wrote a book called De-Evolution, which deals with a fictitious eruption of Mount Rainier. And it was dealing with this collective of people who were kind of a new agey kind of setup, but they were locked off from the rest of society, kind of like what happened with the floods near here around the town of Vernonia, which were the whole area of Vernonia was cut off because of floods. Well, in this particular book, Mount Rainier has an eruption and causes a lot of lahars, which are very heavy, hot mud flows, and it drove a bunch of a family of Sasquatch into dealing with this small populace of new agey kind of people.
Oh wow!
It was a really it's a great book. I should dig it out so you can read it. Oh, it's a fun. It kind of creeped me out a little bit because it's like I'm reading this and I'm getting. I never get scared when I read a book these days, except when I read one about like when I was dealing with the Hot Zone.
By
William Pearson. That you want to talk about a book that scared the hell out of me more than any Clive Barker book, or Stephen King. That scared the hell out of me because that's real.
Yeah. And then he goes into detail of what Ebola does to you.
Yeah. That's foul. Foul.
Yeah. It's different seeing it on TV.
Yeah.
You know, when you're reading it because your imagination is going there and you're thinking, and it goes into really detail.
Because you're getting the interaction of the inside of what that person's thinking as you're reading the book from their perspective. It's like, oh my God, what am I dealing with this hot virus here? And in this particular book for dealing with Sasquatch, it was dealing from this one woman's point of view who was being thrust into a position that she was never in her life ever thought she would ever be in. And I'm not going to give anything more away than what I just told you, but there's a really interesting dichotomy going on between a female Squatch and a female protagonist. Okay. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, that's
I'll have to bring it over for you to that.
So, as I'm going to say right now, unexpected for me, I'm just going to go, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. It's the biggest thing on 2 feet.
Look at that scat.
Watch out, Ethel! Look at him! Oh, watch out, Ethel! Oh! Look at that, look at that. Biggest thing on 2 feet.
Oh, I did, so also, just as a quick aside, so all these guys who do like that crazy Monster Quest thing, okay, so yeah, they pick the worst times to go up, right?
Yeah.
Helicopters should never go up during the winter, which is what these guys were looking for tracking in Colorado. It's like, that's a terrible idea, right? Well,
I mean, let alone when it's snowing.
Pikes Peak, one of the highest mountain peaks here in the continental United States.
And they're not going to be at the very top of the peak.
No.
No.
But the wind's whipping around, storms whip off coming from the central plains.
Which means to me is that these guys, you know, all they're doing is just...
sensationalization.
Yeah.
If there was actually somebody, you would think that if they actually had come across one, it wouldn't just be viewing it. They'd be showcasing it, and somebody would have shot it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what gets
on the show. We're talking on the show. Yeah.
All these fictitious depictions of what's happening and stuff like, again, more sensationalism going on. It's what it is. It's entertainment.
Destination Truth.
Oh.
Josh. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, at first, some of the stuff was very sensationalism, but his stuff now is not. He's actually... gone into the point of really looking into things and getting the truth and everything. When he did the Yeti thing, he was really serious about the Yeti. He didn't find anything. I mean, he had two episodes of it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or he had three or whatever. It was kind of sensationalized.
And I think a lot is to get as many viewers just to watch, just for the sensationalism and their depiction of the creep CGI Sasquatches that they show on at the beginning of every episode of like the Monster Quest or something like that. They're all variations on a fairly tall humanoid looking creature with a lot of ape like attributes. the one I saw earlier today was the most ridiculous Sasquatch version I ever saw in my life, because it had the face of an male orangutan.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, 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 stop it, stop, stop. That looks dumb, first off. And I'll just say it. I'm thinking, I'm watching this thing, it's like, that just looks dumb. Dude, go back to school. Figure it out. Go ahead.
So I'm just going to say, again, look the internet. Figure out what is sensationalized, what's the truth.
Use common sense when you're looking at the stuff, too, because I know a lot of people who take a lot of these sensationalistic TV shows that take the topic or the subject matter, and they sensationalize it. It's the same with the UFO phenomena as well. And, I mean, it's different when you talk to a person who's actually had an interaction, whether it be an abduction, whether it's a person who came across a Sasquatch or a lizard person or anything. The media has this tendency to sensationalize on it. And unfortunately, I find myself doing illustrations because I like doing it. And it does me well. You're always using that sensationalistic aspect to sell a product, to support yourself. And these shows are no different. You think those guys at the History Channel are really there to uncover the truth? No, they're there to sensationalize something to keep viewership on their program.
Right, that's all it's for.
You know, yeah. I've seen better variations on Sasquatch. You know, I love the X-Files. And they had an episode dealing with a Native American tribe that actually had learned to camouflage themselves in plain sight.
Oh, wow.
And they had red eyes. I always wondered about that. Now it makes more sense after watching that episode again just recently, where Mulder and Scully and a couple other people had gone out into the woods and had found that people were being taken for food. Interesting. Huh? Yeah. There's some parallels there. Yeah. And suddenly these people would disappear.
Right. And so a lot of these, if we just figure this out right now, a lot of these shows have gone back to the, let's say, the legends.
Yes.
Or whatever, you know, it's written about, and put them in their shows and made it more modern. That's what I'm saying, is like, watch things, make sure it's going to be okay. If you're really interested, I mean, there's so much out there.
Right now, what popular culture is doing with a lot of stuff is they're sensationalizing it and making their own mythology about said things, whether it be about aliens or creatures from another dimension or what have you. And some of it's entertaining. I'll give you that. I mean, I love Star Trek and stuff like that, right? But there's a part of me that realizes there's an aspect that I can step away from that TV show. And as much as I like that kind of utopian concept, I can step away and just like, I have to deal with reality. Yes, viruses are out there. A Squatch is out there.
As Alan just said that, we're not trying to change anything. We're just bringing the information that we've found. So, like, the lizard people, those are things that we've actually found. Bigfoot, which is a really big subject for us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're...
We're in the backyard. It's in the backyard.
We're really interested in this. So, we're just taking the information that we've read, seen, talked to people about, and present it to you. So, it's up to you to make your own decision.
Yeah.
We've made ours. You need to make your own decision.
For us, I think for me, I just hope that we presented it in a humorous way. And I think we have. I think we've done pretty good at that.
One thing we're doing, which I'm very happy that we're doing, we're very insightful of what we're doing. We'll give you the information, but yet we want to, you know, we're going to make some fun and do some stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the thing I love about doing it is that you can give the raw facts about it, and then they're the way that people have really interpreted to make it sound like you guys are absolutely insane, and poke fun at that stuff. Like alien probes. See, the look on your face tells me everything I need to know. Because I did a piece of artwork dealing with that. And it's like, you know, where people used to talk about aliens putting probes in your butt. Great. Where did that even come from? But it was popularized. And people who talk about alien abduction talk about being probed.
Yeah.
And people went on a tear with it.
Yeah.
And so I just incorporated it into a piece of artwork. Great. Do I believe that that's what they do?
You know what?
Eh.
That would be a good subject to talk about.
Oh.
Because it's in our history. It's in our movies. I mean,
I've actually met some investigators who've actually had probes that they've pulled out of people.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, dude. They're crazy looking.
Oh, wow.
We'll see that for
now. Well, we'll have to do that, so we'll...
I hope you guys found it entertaining.
So, again, this is Comedy Potpourri. I'm Paul.
I'm Just Alan.
And have a good day.
Music brought to you by Lahaina Music. Lahaina, Maui.